great to see you. That's cool. We've got rain. We need rain. We'll take it. Thank you so much for joining with us today. One of the things I love about the Bible is how often it seems like God talks some of the deepest truths about his grace in these unexpected corners of Scripture. Grace is I think one of my favorite ways to describe grace is kind of like getting a free dessert at a restaurant. You didn't earn it, you didn't pay for it, and you better not turn it down, right? I mean, it's important. And today's passage from 2 Samuel chapter 9 is kind of like a free dessert. It reminds us that we don't earn God's grace, we don't pay for God's grace, and it's not something we should ever, ever turn down. And so we have been following David's life over these last number of weeks, from his rise from being a shepherd boy to a king, his triumph over Goliath, his running from Saul, his failure with Bathsheba. Today, we find ourselves in 2 Samuel 9, and we're invited into the palace to witness a quiet conversation and an incredible act of kindness. It's here that David remembers a promise that he made years earlier to his best friend Jonathan. And it's here that an obscure man named Mephibosheth, who was forgotten, who was living in obscurity, will find himself being lifted from a position of shame to honor. And it's also in this chapter where we see a beautiful picture of what God has done for each of us through Jesus Christ. So the chapter begins with David asking a question. He says, "Is there anyone left? Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now this word kindness, we've talked about this word before, but it's hesed. And it is one of the most important words in the Old Testament. It's not just niceness or some random act of charity. Hesed is covenant love. It's faithful, loyal. It's an unbreakable love rooted in a promise. Years before this moment, David and Jonathan realized that one day David would be king, right? That was Jonathan's birthright, but he knew David was going to be king. And so he asked David to make a covenant. It's 1 Samuel chapter 20, right? "But show me the unfailing kindness, the hesed, like the Lord's kindness as long as I live so that I may not be killed. And do not cut off from your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth." Right, in ancient times, when a new king came to power, it was very common to simply wipe out everybody else from the previous dynasty. Right, because you don't want somebody else coming up and saying, "Hey, I have a claim to the throne." And so to prevent that, you kill everybody. But Jonathan asked David to promise something radical here. "David, when you become king, don't kill my family. Instead, show them covenant love." And David swore to it. And now years have passed. Saul and Jonathan are gone. David has defeated his enemies and he secured the throne. And he remembers. He remembers his word. He remembers his bond. He remembers his friend. Church, don't miss this, that grace begins in the heart of a king. Mephibosheth didn't ask for help. He didn't write a letter to King David. He isn't even thinking about the king. But the king is thinking about him. And isn't that true of our story? Right, we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. We didn't earn God's attention. God set his affection on us long before we even knew his name. Right? Our Wesleyan theology would say this is prevenient grace. It's God's grace that goes before us, that draws us in, that woos us in, that seeks us out before we ever seek him out. And David, in his search, it leads him to a servant by the name of Ziba. And Ziba tells him, well, there is still a son of Jonathan, and he is lame in both feet. Now, this is the very first detail we get of Mephibosheth. We learn about his disability. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, we learn that when Mephibosheth was just 5 years old, his nurse dropped him upon hearing of Saul's and Jonathan's death. The fall damages his feet, and it leaves him permanently handicapped. And so here he is. He's disabled. He's powerless. He's living in Lo-Debar. And that name, even where he's living, is telling. Lo means no, and Debar means pasture or word. Right? There's no pasture. There's no word. No word of God. It's a place of barrenness. A place of nothing. Mephibosheth wasn't living in a palace. He was living in obscurity. In a wasteland. He is a forgotten man from a fallen dynasty, carrying the shame of his grandfather Saul's name, unable to walk, unable to work, unable to change his situation. Church, this is us. This is our spiritual condition apart from Christ. Right? We are disabled because of sin. We're unable to walk in righteousness on our own. We are living in a spiritual Lo-Debar, cut off from the presence of the King with nothing to offer him. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says this, that when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. We are living in Lo-Debar. We are Mephibosheth. And so here comes the turning point. The passage continues in 2 Samuel 9. So King David had Mephibosheth brought from Lo-Debar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. And David said, Mephibosheth! You got to imagine Mephibosheth's fear here. The king's messengers show up on his door, right? What's going through his mind? He knows history. He knows what usually happens to the kings, the family of the former king. His heart had to be pounding. His first instinct would have been fear. But then David speaks. He says, don't be afraid, for I will surely show you the kindness. I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all of the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. And four beautiful promises in one sentence. Don't fear, because grace replaces fear. I will show you kindness. David's remembering that chesed, that covenant love. I will restore. Right? This isn't just survival, but it is a restoration of what was lost. You will always eat at my table. You will have an ongoing fellowship with the King. Church, this is the gospel in miniature right here. God comes to us in our fear and says, don't fear. He shows to us covenant love, not because any one of us deserve it, but because of Jesus, our greater Jonathan. He restores to us what sin has stolen. And he invites us to his table, not just as guests for a night, but as his family forever. And David just doesn't stop at words here. He calls his servant Ziba and commands him that all of the lands that previously had belonged to Saul be given back to Mephibosheth. And he orders Ziba's household to farm it for him. And then comes the crown jewel of grace. Scripture says that from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table, like one of the king's sons. He wasn't a tolerated guest. He wasn't a charity case. He ate at the table of the king as one of the king's sons. And do you see it? David just doesn't pardon Mephibosheth. He adopts him into his royal family. And every time Mephibosheth would sit down at the table, his brokenness is covered by the king's provision. And that's us. God just doesn't forgive us of our sins. He adopts us into his family. He covers our shame with the righteousness of Christ. And he gives us a permanent seat at his table. Right? Our theology emphasizes the fact that salvation isn't just about getting rescued from sin or rescued from punishment. It is about being restored into relationship, about being remade in the image of Christ, about being a part of God's family both now and forevermore. So what can we take from this? I think first of all, what we need to learn is that grace starts with God, not us. Right? David initiated the search for Mephibosheth. And in the same way, God's love reaches out to us before we ever reach out to him. Secondly, God will find us in our brokenness. Mephibosheth was lame and living in insecurity, but David came for him. Church, don't miss this. God doesn't wait for us to fix ourselves. He meets us where we are. Thirdly, grace removes fear. The gospel says, do not fear. 1 John 4:18 says that perfect love casts out fear. We have no fear with God. Fourthly, grace restores and adopts. David gave Mephibosheth land and security and a seat at the table. God gives us forgiveness, new life, and a place in his family. You know, David's kindness to Mephibosheth points us to a greater king. To King Jesus. Like David, Jesus is a covenant keeper. He's the covenant keeper. The covenant he fulfills is one that is sealed in his own blood. Remember the words of communion. This is my body, this is my blood shed for you. Like David, Jesus seeks out what was lost and broken. He comes to seek and save the lost. Right from the lost sheep to the lost coin to the lost son, Jesus is looking for you. Like David, Jesus replaces our fear with peace. Don't be afraid. One of the most repeated commands in the scriptures. Whether it was in the midst of a storm or after the resurrection, right? Jesus replaces fear with his presence. Like David, Jesus restores what sin has stolen, and so much more. Like David, Jesus invites us to eat with him at his table. Revelation chapter 19 is called the marriage supper of the Lamb, where it says the people of God will feast with him forever. And so if we have received such grace, how should we live? How should we live as Mephibosheths? You know, live with gratitude. Never forget that all of us were once living in Lodabar. We were living in our sinfulness. And the King has brought you in. You know, gratitude fuels worship. Gratitude fuels reading the Bible. Gratitude fuels gathering together and celebrating our King. As imitators of Christ, then, I think, secondly, we need to show covenant love to others. David's kindness was for Jonathan's sake. We extend kindness for Jesus' sake to all those who are around us, even if they don't deserve it, even if they are our mortal enemy. We are to extend kindness because that's who God's people are. Thirdly, we need to invite people to the table. There are still people living in Lodabar who need to know that the King is looking for them. You have contact with people I don't. You might be the only Bible somebody will read. You have the opportunity to be the gospel to somebody else. Invite them to the table. And lastly, stop living like a beggar when you're a child of the King. I think too many Christians think of themselves as barely tolerated guests. No, you are a son. You are a daughter of the King. You are loved, you are welcome, you are wanted. Can you imagine Mephibosheth's first meal at the King's table? The servants bring in the food, the royal family sits down, gold cups glitter in the candlelight. And then here comes Mephibosheth. He takes his place. They don't see an enemy or someone who shouldn't belong there. What everybody sees is a child of the King who is feasting at the palace. Church, that's what grace does. It takes us from the wilderness of sin. It covers our shame. It restores our inheritance, and it seats us at the King's table forever. And today, the King is still saying, is there anyone else to whom I can show kindness to? Is there anyone else that I can show kindness to? And the answer is yes, it is you. And so come. Not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it, but because the King has set his love upon you. You know, one day when we sit at that great banquet in heaven, we'll look around the table and realize, you know, none of us got here on our own. We were all carried to this place by God's grace. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for this incredible love you show to us. A love that is given to us not because we've earned it or deserve it, but because you love us. You created us. And so, Jesus, we pray that as Mephibosheths, we would gratefully sit at your table, and we would tell other Mephibosheths to come, that the king is looking for them, that they too are welcomed and wanted and loved. Thank you, Jesus. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.